done that.
Sure. Let's go back to the PG version.
So what is your favorite feature of SharePoint? And I can guess if you'd like.
Go ahead. What do you think?
So we could either do, I've got a couple possibilities. Uh-huh. Access to SharePoint, SharePoint skinning, or SharePoint lists.
No, my favorite thing about SharePoint is it's like an onion.
Uh-huh.
It is. It's like
it smells.
Makes you cry sometimes.
Right.
But it's got these layers to it, right? So you can be just a normal end user type who working with SharePoint through the browser and doing cool stuff. You'd be a little bit down deeper and running in SharePoint Designer and building workflows and
sure.
maybe really understand your site definitions and can brand it, and then you can drop down a level below that and start working with features and site templates, and then all the way down to the bottom there's .NET. And if you really want, you can open up Reflector and dig down a little bit deeper. And that makes it, for the tinkerer in me, the ultimate platform. Anything that can be great for developers and great for end users with customization all the way through, that's the coolest kind of software there is.
So with development, I'd say some people find development of SharePoint a little difficult, right? Mm-hmm. And it can either be from not knowing where to get tools or from maybe the exact areas to modify. Are there things that you find useful? I find like WSP Builder and some of those types of tools helpful when doing an application.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. And one thing that I always advise people, if you're the kind of person that learns well by memorization or you like to pick things apart, everything you need to know about SharePoint, for the most part, is in the 12.5.
Sure.
It's in the 12.5. If you can really learn how it's put together, what all those files are, what goes in them, they're, without any SDK at all, there's just a wealth of information available for you.
So for the listeners who aren't sure what is the 12.5, what is the 12.5? Where is this mythical creature?
The 12.5 is just this place on the disk in program files that said, Program files, common files, Microsoft shared, web server extensions, 12. And 95% of the files that make up a SharePoint installation are under that.
You've navigated there before, it appears.
Once or twice.
So do you put the little shortcut on your desktop toolbar so you can just right-click the folder and go there quickly, or do you...
Of course. Navigate. You right-click on your taskbar and use his new toolbar and just yep. navigate there, and then you've got the ability to pull that thing up instantly. Yep.
Exactly, yeah. I use that a lot. Just for ease of use, you know.
Well, it's pretty far deep now. Yeah. Like that. But I also have a shortcut to it on my desktop, so I can just double-click it and boom, explore it. So.
Well, that's a good one, too. I don't actually use that one.
I do with
I might try that.
I use a shareware utility called Windows Grep to mm-hmm. routinely search the 12.5 to figure out how things are put together. I use .NET Reflector, but... back to your original question, a lot of people find SharePoint development to be hard. It's because it is hard. And it's not because of the tools. It's because you've got all the .NET.
Yeah.
You've got HTML. You've got CSS. Whole deployment model. And then everything that's in SharePoint is it is an application. So if you're working with publishing is an application that's running on the SharePoint infrastructure. So I don't think that any of the individual points or the individual parts of SharePoint are any... more or less complicated than any other kind of software that I've ever worked with. There's just a lot of them.
And different types of users. There's IT developers, there's pure custom developers, there's web designers, there's architects, there's business analysts.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's so many different aspects, like you're saying.
Well, and that's important, right? You have to, there are always going to be people like us who, training and consulting, and it's my business to take the time to understand all that stuff. You're in a similar role at times, and so we have to pick it apart and understand all those elements of it. But for a larger team, building up so you've got individuals that are in roles
yep.
that can be good at their roles is essential, because it's not something you can dabble. If you're yep. in Visual Studio, you can't be dabbling in SharePoint. It's going to be a painful experience for you.
Yeah, so that's been something I've been promoting for a while, is to make sure and get a full development team and get your roles assigned. Certain people can play more than one role, but make sure that you know who is in which area so that you can be successful on projects.
Well, that's exactly right. I don't think many people would try to implement something like SAP, enterprise-class piece of software with a a group of people that are all SAP experts.
Right.
They just wouldn't do it. And you shouldn't try to do that with SharePoint. You should have branding people and taxonomy people and people that understand your business and people that are out evangelizing and people that are developing web parts and web controls. And to the extent that you can do that, the happier you're going to be.
Yeah.
But if you give your best developer a book and go, you got 2 weeks to start implementing SharePoint, you can be sure.
It's going to be difficult.
That developer is going to have angry rants on Twitter about how bad SharePoint is.
Oh, yeah.
It's not because SharePoint's a problem. It's because they didn't have enough time to learn it.
Or you gave them the wrong book.
That's true. I hear there's a good book on social computing.
Yeah, there's maybe another book on SharePoint professional development for 2010. That might be a good one to check out.
Or AppDev Courseware?
Yes.
AppDev Courseware?
We could probably go on like this for an hour or so.
Seriously?
I think so. There's great skinning tool I've seen. Have you tried that one?
The SharePoint Skinner?
Yes.
I wrote that.
Oh, did you?
I did. It's on
that is a great tool.
It's on that www.illuminotion.com.
Yeah, he's got great.
E-L-U-M-E-N-O-T-I-O-N.
That guy's a great blogger when he's keeping up, too.
He's slack.
Oh, don't worry. He'll come back. I've seen him. Yeah.
All right, so tell me about this. What did you mention access with SharePoint? What are these two things that Nair Show meet that you're talking about?
Oh, so you were talking about the cool thing to demo to people who haven't ever seen or used SharePoint to get them excited about it. It's not to go open a SharePoint site. It's to open up Microsoft Office and start doing cool stuff with it. And one of the things that you can do that's cool that a lot of people remain unaware of is the amount of integration that you get with Microsoft Access. So just for fun, open up the Northwind Trader sample in Access 2007 and go to external data on the ribbon and choose move to SharePoint. And it's going to take all the data that's in all the tables, it's going to create SharePoint lists for each of those. It's going to copy all the data up, and the Northwind database is still going to work. The queries are still going to run, the reports are still going to work, the forms are still going to work, but it's all the information that's in the SharePoint site. That's pretty neat, especially if you want to report off SharePoint data, which is not the easiest thing in the world to do through the browser. But then open up Outlook or go to the SharePoint site and go to customers and choose open in Outlook. And all of a sudden, all the stuff shows up in Outlook as a contacts list.
Then you get Nancy DeFolio in there?
Exactly, exactly. In a contacts list, right? And you can edit Nancy and change her phone number, which is 555.
We don't give that out anymore.
I'm sorry. And then go back over to Access and see that it changed in the display there. Look in the SharePoint site, see that it changed there. Then maybe open up SharePoint Designer and create a little workflow off of customers or orders. Just play around. You'd be amazed at the kind of mashup application that you can build without writing the first line of macro code, no Visual Studio, no feature deployment, really with no real knowledge of what the heck SharePoint is doing.
I guess more to the point. Big customer, going to buy SharePoint. Do they have to have developers on SharePoint? Do you have to develop custom code to make SharePoint successful?
You want our honest opinion?
Absolutely. I mean, you're on camera, you're on mic, and you're the experts.
I think for their vision that they start out with usually, yes. For what they actually need, I would say not always.
That's a great point. A lot of times when I am initially working with a new customer and I'm consulting, I say to them, okay, you've bought a platform.
Yes.
That does certain things. So you can go with the flow and learn to understand what that platform does and do business process around it. Or you can go a more radical customization route. That's really up to the customer and what their individual requirements are. We've seen in any kind of software development that there's always a desire to, especially for the stakeholders, to deliver the world to their users.
Yes.
But part of what you've got to do, whether you're internal IT working with SharePoint or your consultants working with customers, is start off by helping them understand what the platform is able to do, understand what their actual needs are from a business standpoint, and a lot of times, mashup type applications and a lot of the out-of-the-box stuff is going to be great. There's a survey on Lightning Tools.
Yeah.
Has done a couple surveys. I think that this was on their website. They polled a bunch of people about what were your biggest regrets a year into SharePoint deployment. And I think number one on that list was we built custom stuff that was in there already. We just didn't know it.
Right. Yeah, and I think a lot of people go in and they the biggest downfall is they start with a design firm or they start with, you know, deciding which tool. So they decide to go with SharePoint. And then they do a design and decide which components they want from websites, right? They see websites.
This is what they want it to look like.
I want this component, I want this component, and I want it to look like this. So
we
they
want the navigation to be exactly like this and, you know, these particular paradigms.
And then they
they're
say,
designing a custom application, and they want SharePoint to do it.
Yeah, so then they say go, and that's custom, instead of just saying, okay, we could have looked at SharePoint, seen what it did, and actually gotten 90% there and done only 10% customization if they really wanted it.
Yeah, I talk about, in addition to my wonderful analogy about SharePoint being an onion, SharePoint is great for what I call below-the-line functionality. And the line is the return on investment line. It's great for enabling people to do things for themselves that is below the ROI line so that their IT department is never going to do it for them.
So it's kind of like a bologna sandwich. It could be better, but you can eat it.
Exactly. You're full at the end of the day.
Yes.
But I mean, you know, a SharePoint designer workflow that makes the life of six people in your department easier, you know, might have, you know, maybe the greatest thing in the world of those six people. But if you go to the CIO and say, you know, I want 2 months of the development team's time in order to, you know, optimize the six-person process, it's just not going to happen. But if you can do it yourself. Flip side of that is sometimes I hear people say, well, we can't let our end users do that because then it might become important.
Right.
And what a nightmare that would be. But, I mean, you know, they just...
If we're able to respond to business more quickly, that's a problem.
Exactly. And they just build a prototype for you that describes exactly what they want. So, if the ultimate system doesn't scale or, you know, doesn't validate data, is where all the things that an end user-based system might have in terms of deficiencies... They still got automation they never would have had otherwise, and now you know what they actually want. So it's time to build the real professional system.
Yeah.
I guess I'm a good one.
And you should recommend that, you know, they're hiring people that they want to work for them, so they should trust them to do some level of work for them.
That's
right?
Exactly.
I mean,
right.
That's what it comes down to. And then you have some governance. You have audit data, usage data they can look at for making sure things go right.
So where can our viewers go to find out more about both your expertise?
Well, lumenotion.com, lumenotion.com, or you can just search for Doug Ware on your favorite search engine, and I'll be the first hit on the list. Or you can come out to the new SharePoint user group, which here in Atlanta, which meets the third Monday of every month, and is at www.sp, you know?
SP Atlanta.
It's brand new. I mean, this site's been up for less than a week.
Perfect. And how about you, Mr. Schwartz?
They can go to blogs.sharepointguys.com/Brendan, or you can search my name, and I should be at least the fourth or fifth ranking on there, maybe not first like you. But put Atlanta or SharePoint.
You keep working on that, and I'm sure you'll make it.
My SEO will get better over time, you know. But, and then they can go to devcow.com if they're in Atlanta and find a calendar of events in Atlanta.
Awesome.
So.
Well, thank you guys for taking time out to talk with us today.
Sure, thanks.